Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Heritage Baptist Church on Sunday night. We're excited to be in church. Let's open in word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here, to hear of you, to hear from your word. God, I pray that you would move through the service tonight like you did this morning. God, thank you for a wonderful Sunday morning. I pray that you would do the same. I pray that open hearts, open the word, open our hearts to receive it. God, thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hayden, come on in.
All right, let's all stand. We turn to 439. Count your blessings. 439.
Okay, here's some questions from our letter, Walter's letter. Here's a church question. What event was it that brought the ladies to them wanting to learn about the Savior? Yep, that was it. Officially, yep, it was a Mother's Day British tea event. Wonder what that's like. You got a church already. I'll give you another one, but listen up, y'all. Be careful. I think history's marked. I'll do this one. You're such a good student. Okay, here's another church question. Seeking permission. What are they seeking permission to do in the schools? Yep, a wonderful thing if they can get to do that. Very good. You got three. Nice job. Okay, geography question. They helped them stamp and start passing out gospel tracts. Where was this group from in America? It was a church group. Yes. I will let you have that. You don't remember the city? Kind of a corny place. Corning, yes. That was it.
Well, then there was somebody from Harlan.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm getting tricky here, geography. Nice job.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, one more question, a geography question. Student on a mission trip seeking the Lord's direction to become a missionary, where was the student from?
Harlan Baptist Bible College.
That's it. You guys know that church, that college. Apparently a very wonderful place. Thank you, brother. You're welcome. Nice job. Thank you all. Keep reading those letters and pray for their, their needs, okay?
All right, let's stand again this evening as we turn to 240, The Lily of the Valley, 240.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The Lily of the Valley, in him alone I see. All I need is make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my safe. He tells me everywhere I need to go. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and only sun. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows won. Patiently, my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols from my heart and how he gives me by his power. Oh, all the world will see me and say, and then be so. Jesus, I shall say, he reached the goal. Hallelujah, he will live the hour of the valley, the bright and holy sun. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never ever leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith in you, his blessed will. Oh, on fire about me, I've nothing now to do. With his hand, I need my hungry soul shall fill.
Amen. Please be seated.
We miss them. It's not the same without them. Did you feel it was different this morning here? Other than him not speaking, but just their presence. It's different when they're not here. And we miss them and pray for them. Pray for God's hand of protection on them. You know where they're flying. They're flying over places and around places that right now are not great places to be around with what's going on in the world. So just pray for protection that they come back safely, that there's no... There. None of you saw that. But just pray for them. Pray for them that God's will is done and the work that they're trying to accomplish. The work of this ministry, you're all partakers of it, supporting it. We're all have our hand in it. So let's all be mindful of that. And then September 19th, the soul winning class. We talked this morning about the identity or the what the citizen of the kingdom looks like. And one of the characteristics is a peacemaker, going out and witnessing to people to bring them that peace between them and God. We're not really sure how to do that. How do I share my faith with somebody? So come out September 19th. It'll be 2 hours. We'll go over some pointers, some guidelines. You don't have to follow them directly, but it's just some tips to help teach and train how we can share our faith. And those are the announcements as I know them. Hayden, come lead us in our last song.
All right, y'all may stay seated for this next song. Please turn to 325, Trust and Obey, 325.
Walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. God, we do His will. He abides with us still, and we know who will trust and
Thank you, Hayden. I appreciate that more than you will ever know. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to pick up where we left off in the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Brother Vic said right before we started, I hope you do as good tonight as you do this morning, or as you did this morning. And so he set the bar, and so I don't want to disappoint him. But no, it's there's such a sweet spirit here with everybody. I can't tell you how encouraging everybody here is, and it's very sweet. It is. It really is. Everyone coming afterwards and saying something, words of encouragement, have been overwhelming, really, to say the least. Tonight I want to look at an identity crisis. In the world today, one of the biggest issues people have is, who am I? What am I? There's lots of different arguments, and there's people, the world, influencing other people on, well, if you feel like you're this, then that's what you are. If you feel that way, then you must be that. And there's a lot of confusion that happens in the world and in public school systems and just all over the place of, you think you're something, you identify as something, what's your purpose in that, and what's your function? If we were to look at how this is going to play out, our identity is who we are, the purpose, why we are that, and then our functionality. What am I to do with who I am? So I want to look at that this morning. We're opening a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this evening. I pray that you'd help us as we look at your word, God, and we identify who you say that we are and who we are supposed to be in this world. I pray that you'd be with my words, God. I pray that you'd open the hearts and be with us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The problem with people today, one of the major issues, is I need to find myself. I need to figure out who I am. This ideology is pushed on children at a very young age. You need to figure out who you are. And the unfortunate part of things is that the majority of these students are under the influence of the world. The majority of these children are being taught by people who are not teaching them what the Bible says. The Bible gives us a very clear picture of who we are, but these people are confused. They're raised being, if you feel this way, Johnny, if you feel like you want to wear dresses, then that's okay. You are okay to do that. They identify themselves as something. They look at what their purpose is in that role, and then they act on it. Can I tell you, Jesus, in the Bible, in the Sermon on the Mount, He gives His disciples their identity. He tells them who you are. He doesn't leave them wondering, what blessed is this person? What does that mean? He goes straight from that. Let's read the Beatitudes. We'll go through the Beatitudes one more time, beginning in verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We remember that means I need God. I need more of God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. They're mourning over the sin that in their lives, the sin of their nation, the sin around them. For they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, those whose strength is submitted to the will of God. For they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now he gives them
their identity. Ye are the salt. In order to understand what this is, because really our view of salt is sodium chloride, that little bottle that's on the restaurant table when we go and we eat our food. We take it, we pour it on, it gives us a little bit of flavor. In order to understand what Jesus is really talking about here, we have to bring ourselves 2,000 years ago to the area that they were in. Sometimes we take for granted all of the modern technology that we have. One of the main uses of salt in that day was currency. It was used as money. It was valuable back then. It was something that you could work all day and earn a bag of salt. I would not do that today. I am not interested in a bag of salt, but that it was something back then was valuable. Now it's more common. You can get it, like I said, anywhere. It's a more common thing. But then, there, it was valuable. It was worth something. Why was it worth something? Because it wasn't just useful for currency. It was also used for promises, for covenants, for business deals. What they would do in that time is they would take a cup of water and two people entering a covenant with each other, a transaction, a business deal, they would each take salt, pour it into the water, stir it up. The idea was this promise cannot be broken. Why? Because in order to break this, in order to back out of this, one would have to go in and remove every grain of salt that the other had put in. So it was something that they were not going to go back on. This was a visible promise that we are shaking hands on this. This is something that's going to happen. Another primary use of salt, which is what we're going to look at, is it was used to prevent food from spoiling. See, today we have refrigerators. We wouldn't think of this. We don't have a purpose for this now. But what they would do is they would take salt and put it around their food, and the salt would keep any kinds of decaying from happening. It would prevent it. It would slow it down. It would slow the process of decay down to keep that food in a condition that you could eat it for a longer period of time. This is what Jesus is referring to when he tells them this. When he tells them, ye are the salt, where? Of the earth. What he's saying is, your identity in who you are is to hold back decay in this world, in the world around you. Have you ever wondered why when you get saved, you don't immediately go to heaven? Wouldn't that be great? You accept Jesus as your Savior, and it's, beam me up, Peter, I'm ready to go. But that doesn't happen. Why? There's an identity that we have. We're the salt. There's a purpose for us. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. Your point, you are being packed into an earth to hold back decay. That is your identity. Look what he says. If the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? How is the world going to hold back, or how is decay going to be prevented if the salt loses its purpose? See, back then, salt, like I said, isn't as its pure form of sodium chloride like we have today. This would have been harvested, and it would have had more than just salt involved with it. You would have had more minerals that would have been around it. So the way it loses its savor, the way salt would lose its saltiness, then would be it came in contact with other impure minerals. It could get washed away. And what would happen is you would have a clumpy white substance that looked like salt that you would identify as salt but had no salt in it. It was useless at that point. Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. Your purpose is to hold back decay in wherever you are placed. Holding back decay, what that means, what salt is in a believer's life, in a disciple's life, is influence. It's your influence in the world around you. That's your saltiness. That's what it means. So what does that look like? It can be as simple as having a good Christian testimony in the workplace to where other people, if they were going to do something wrong, a bad business deal, something dishonest, steal something, whatever, they'd be like, hey, let's go ahead and do this. Wait, no, we can't do that around him because he's against that. He won't agree with us. That's keeping back decay. When you go in the voting booth and you vote for people, what are you voting for? You're voting to keep back decay. You're voting to prevent bad things from happening. If we're gone, if the salt loses its savor, if we lose our influence, how is decay going to be prevented? It's good for nothing. When you identify as something, what you identify is what you will express. If you identify as a Democrat, your functionality will be that of a Democrat. And I'm not taking the same way goes the other way. If you identify as a Republican, your thought process will be Republican. Can I tell you that that's not what we should be? Our identity should be citizens of the kingdom, and what we vote for in the voting booth should be, does this align with the kingdom? Whether it's Republican, Democrat, whoever, our view should be, I am trying to keep back decay. And when there's people get voted in that are against what we stand for in this, we pray them out and we vote them out. We are keeping back decay. That is the purpose. That's why we're here. Look what he says. When the salt hath lost its savor, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. How do we lose our influence? How can we lose our saltiness? Compromise. We compromise. We say, okay, that's okay. God doesn't really like that, but you know, that's okay. I'll just say one bad joke. I'll say one cursed word. I'll do this. That immediately loses your influence on the people, to the people around you. It immediately loses your saltiness. And how is the world supposed to be salted? Our identity is to hold back decay. Look at what he says. He says, it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. We saw in the Beatitudes, the pure in heart, what's motivating us. What's our pure motives behind witnessing to people and being salt in the earth. The Luke's account says this. He says, it's good neither for the earth nor the dunghill when we lose our saltiness. Look what it says in verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. So not only are we supposed to be an influence in the world around us, we're supposed to be a light that shines Jesus in the world around us. That light, we talked about this morning. Why are we persecuted? Why are Christians persecuted for sharing the gospel of Christ? Because when you bring a light to a dark place, sometimes the people don't like that. They don't want to know that they're living in sin. They don't want to know that what they're doing displeases God. They don't want to see that. But he says, ye are the light of the world. He says himself that I am the light of the world. How can he say that I am the light of the world and ye are the light of the world? It almost sounds contradictory. But what he's saying is, I am in you and you are in the world. I'm not in the world. He's gone. He left. The Holy Spirit's now inside of us, and we are that light to shine in dark places. Wherever you're at right now in your life, that is where God has placed you to be an influence and to be a light that shines in a dark place. Look what he says, a light that is a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. When there's not in Florida, obviously, there's not very many hills here. But when you drive in areas where there's mountains and you see houses on the mountains, you'll see a light. There's a light there. Verse number 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. What's the point in getting your light lit just to hide it? That's nothing. You're not doing what God said you should do. You're not being the light in the world. You're not being the salt of the earth. Verse number 16 says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The whole point of why we're being packed into this earth as salt, as influence, and why we are a light to the world around us is to point people to Jesus. It's to point people to God. It's a sign, it's a light shine, it's a light sign that says, this is where God is. This is the way to God. That's what the Beatitudes are talking about when they're talking about peacemakers. Showing people, leading people to Christ. Verse number 17, we'll go into a little bit of teaching, he says. He says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousnesses shall exceed the righteousnesses of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." Our goal, what Christ says our identity is salt. We are to be salt. We are to be an influence to the world around us. Our influence can be compromised. We lose our influence when we compromise, when we give up, when we allow sin, when we don't treat sin the way sin should be dealt with. And then our light, we're a light. God says, "Ye are the light of the world." A light, what's the point in hiding it? Don't hide it. Well, we see that he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," or "Blessed are ye men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward." We cannot be afraid. We cannot be afraid to be an influence in the world around us. We cannot be afraid to be a light to the world around us. We cannot, when we realize who God is, when we truly understand, when we really get it, it changes the way we see the world around us. And it helps us to be a better influence to the world and to be a light to the world around us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word, God. I pray that you'd be with the invitation. I pray that you'd help us to realize that your influence and you being inside of us is a light to the world around us. God, I pray that you'd open our eyes. I pray that you'd be with us. I pray that you'd open our hearts to the word, God, and help us to have a good evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go ahead, stand. We'll have an invitation.
In the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
If the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? Don't compromise. Stand for what's right. Stand for what's true. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard. Don't be afraid to be a light in the world around you. Have a great week. Pray for Pastor. Keep him on your mind. Pray for him. Pray for his wife. Pray for the purpose of why they're there, and that they come home safely. Have a good week.